So it's my very great pleasure to welcome Mark McClurg to Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. Welcome along, Mark.
Hello, Nick. It's nice to be with you today.
Thanks so much for agreeing to chat to me. You and I were colleagues back in Bible College, 2005 to 2008. I think we were kind of in the same year group even, weren't we?
We were in the same year at Bible College, you, Chloe, and your young boys, but now they're young men.
They are indeed. Yes, they're growing up quite quickly. And you've had a family since then as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so Claire and I, since coming home, we have been in church in Brookburn for 4 years, and now in the last 8 years we've been in Ardsleum. But the blessing now is that we share a lovely home with Liliana, she's six, and our twin boys, Josiah and Judah. So our
Fantastic.
House is filled with love and laughter.
So you have three kids in your house?
Yes, that's right. I love it. They're always laughing and carrying on. There's always something to do, and there's always something adventure for them to do. So I love being part of that.
It's brilliant having children around the house, something I've really enjoyed. I've loved being a dad, and my three seem to be growing up ever so fast and heading off to do various different things all too soon, it seems. I wanted to speak to you this morning on the podcast because you were somebody that fell ill with coronavirus, and I think you were one of the earlier ones, weren't you? Just tell us how you knew you were getting ill, and just tell us the opening of that story. Is that all right?
Nick, so at the beginning of March, I had conjunctivitis in my eye. It was red and inflamed and painful. I went to the GP and he gave me some antibiotics and it didn't really shift. And unfortunately, it went into a sty and it just got really, really sore. And again, it came back, more different antibiotics, but it didn't help. And it just kept on getting more sore. And then middle of March, I was noticing pain in the back of my back, around the thorax, in the front, around my chest area. It was difficult, just lying down, sitting down. Fatigue was starting to set in, and I'm not one to have fatigue. And then closer to the time before I went into hospital, it was the breathlessness. And the night before coming into hospital, I just noticed and I said, Claire, I can't breathe. Now, the problem for me was I didn't think I had coronavirus because at that stage, the symptoms were a high temperature and a continuous cough. And I'd never had a high temperature and I didn't have a continuous cough. So that's why I didn't think I had it. But thankfully, I have nurses in our church and I phoned one of them. And even told her the symptoms that I had. She says she doesn't think I even had coronavirus because I didn't have the symptoms, but she was worried because of the pains across my chest and back and the tightness of my chest and the shortage of breath. She said, you need to go to hospital.
So you had unusual symptoms effectively, but somebody in your church was kind of looking out for you and saying, hey, that doesn't sound right. Get yourself across to A&E. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct, Nick. So, and then I made my way to A&E. And once I got into A&E, they were amazing, professional, and so quick at seeing me through triage. They suspected coronavirus because of my oxygen levels were so low. At that stage, my temperature was hitting 38. So they had to take me quickly out of A&E and then put me in their pre-assessment ward set up for this. And then they started doing the first swab. I had two swabs tested, and the first one came back as a false negative. And so the initial response, the doctors actually thought, you know, I actually had just pneumonia. Now, obviously, knowing now the coronavirus is the virus that leads to the disease, which is COVID-19, and the title is COVID-19 pneumonia. So it's a form of pneumonia. And the problem was for my lungs, they should have been full of fluid, but they weren't. So that's probably why I didn't have the cough. But they were inflamed, and that's why it was so crucial for me to get so much help. And I was brought onto the COVID ward in the Ulster Hospital, but things deteriorated really badly the second night. They were giving me oxygen at 70%, and then they increased it to 80%. I was struggling to breathe. I could not breathe at all. So the only way I can describe it is that my lungs were just consumed with this coronavirus. There's just no space to breathe. It actually felt as if somebody had maybe dropped two bags of broken glass into my lungs, and every breath that you try to take is painful. But because there's your lungs are being overtaken. You can't breathe. So it's almost like this drowning effect. You're trying to breathe underwater. And because it's your breathlessness, it just feels as if you're running uphill and you can't stop for a breath. So they increased it, the doctor, right up to 100% oxygen on the ward. And they said to me, they can't give me any more oxygen. Now, at that stage, it was about midnight around Tuesdays, and I phoned Claire. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I actually thought that night I was going to die. And I said to Claire, look, they can't give me any more oxygen.
That seemed to onset so quickly. I mean, that's a really short space of time that you went downhill. Wow, that's just... And sounds horrendous, the concept of broken glass in your lungs and stuff. And so did you manage to get through to Claire? What did you say?
On the Tuesday, about 12, I explained everything to her. But obviously, my breathing was so short and talking was so difficult. So it was very laboured. And I said, Claire, I think I'm going to die. I just can't breathe anymore. And we were crying. I says, look, I'm ready to die, but I'm not ready to leave you and the kids. And then at that stage, the doctor then sent for the ICU doctors, and a team from ICU come up, and they just looked at me and they says, we need to bring you down to ICU. You're critical. And I said, can Claire come down to see me? And they said, yes. And I said, Claire, please come down. Now, the lovely thing was, the team there are so professional, but also so caring. I just love the team at the Ulster Hospital, and that's the NHS in general.
Yeah.
So thank you to all those doctors and nurses who are working hard. Thank you so much.
They're just incredible people, aren't they?
They are. They definitely are. And they're my heroes. So the nurse came on my phone and explained that, look, they were going to take care of me and just not to worry, but come down. Now, to take me in the ICU, they had to get an anaesthetist to make sure that I could go down and I'd be fit to go down. And at that stage, because the coronavirus was so new, they had to lock the whole hospital down. Porters had to stand in doors so that I could get a passage down to ICU and not be near anyone.
Yeah.
Again, this is just all these things that are happening. I've never been sick. I've never had this before. I've never been critically ill. So this is all new. And that time when I went into ICU, it was brilliant because then they gave me what's called a CPAP machine. That is, it's a continuous pressure, positive airway pressure. So it's really breathing and pushing oxygen. And I mean pushing oxygen is like putting your head out the window of your car, 70 miles an hour, and feeling the force of the wind. That's the way I can describe it. It's just pushing oxygen all the way down your lungs because you can't. And that was amazing because that was just the first time I actually felt oxygen going in. And now the doctors had to work with me for like 3 hours. There was lots of things that had to be set up. I had to get a line into an artery, and that's painful because that's how they test your oxygen. They test an oxygen by putting a line in your artery, and putting a line in your artery is not nice. So they put that in and sorted that out and got me hooked up to all the ventilator, but the ventilator was there for me just through the CPAP machine. They had a Dallas machine, they had everything ready in case I crashed. So everything was there, perfect. And I just remember that night, Nick and Claire wasn't here yet, and I was left alone, and I just prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, would you help me? Would you heal me? And something amazing happened there, Nick. You know, to hear the audible voice of the Lord, I haven't heard that like this. It's just so beautiful. And the Lord said to me, son, you are more than a conqueror. And I didn't realize when he was saying, you're more than a conqueror, there was like more than one battle that I'd have to face that week. Because in ICU, it's a constant battle because you're fighting for your life. But that was enough encouragement to get me through that first night in ICU.
Wow, I'm just lost for words. I just don't know what to say. I mean, so you made it through the night. What happened the next day?
It was difficult because then the fever hits. And what I mean by that, it was like you're going in, your temperature's spiking so much that your body, it's sweating and it's like puddle. And so I was constantly getting bed baths because my sense of taste and smell had gone. I had no appetite. And my health was deteriorating. Again, these are things that probably not a lot of people would understand or know, but your infection level right now is around 20, and that's okay, because your body's always has that. But my infection level was like over 280, and that's so difficult. So they were fighting this, and they opened a line in my arm to give me antibiotics, and they were doing everything they can to increase my health. There was a team down checking my lungs every day. But unfortunately for coronavirus, on the Saturday was the hardest day. Because I didn't have a good night's sleep. I was only maybe sleeping 2 hours, because on the CPAP machine, this is noisy. It's loud.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's impossible to sleep. So you're only getting a couple of hours sleep. You remember, you're trying to run uphill. You're trying to breathe underwater. You've got like, feels like broken glass in your lungs. So everything is, you're fighting, but it's like an uphill battle. And it just doesn't feel as if you're getting any better. And then on the Saturday, the doctor, the consultant came round and simply said to me, Mark, if you don't improve by this afternoon, we're going to put you on the ventilator and put a tube down. Now, that was relayed to Claire, of course. And then Claire and I, we spoke again. And it was difficult because at that stage, remember, Italy, the coronavirus was really bad in Italy.
That's right. It was breaking out in northern Italy, wasn't it? We were all watching the news and seeing that. Yeah.
That's right. And it was like, at that stage, they were saying 50-50 chances of those people making it at ICU. And the statistics weren't good. And the news coming out of Italy wasn't good. So again, I thought, right, okay, I'm at this point again. Am I going to have to say goodbye to Claire and maybe not be able to say hello to her again? And I just, again, Claire prayed for me. And then I just was lying down. And I started listening to worship music, and it was my niece sent it to Claire, and Claire then sent it to me, and it's a powerful song. It's become my song to really get me through my time in ICU.
Yeah,
it's a group called Sanctus Real, and the song was called Unstoppable God, and it's a powerful song. And if your listeners can listen to it, it's a great song. And I was listening to that. I had the iPhone on my chest and I was lifting my hands as best I can. I couldn't worship with my words, but I was worshiping from my heart. I was just worshiping God, and I was fighting. I was trying to breathe deeply and trying to breathe strongly and trying to fight. And then again, I just simply prayed a simple prayer. Lord, would you help me? Would you heal me? And I had my eyes closed because I was still in sort of a worship, just trying to worship the Lord, even though I couldn't sing. And my right hand was down the side of my body in the bed, and I felt someone squeeze my hand. This is so strange, because the doctors and nurses can't touch you. COVID, socially distanced. The only time they come close is when they're drawing blood, and then they go back and feed in. So to have someone hold my hand, I hadn't had any human touch for days. Just no one's been near me. And then I just felt the squeeze of the right hand again. And I thought, I thought maybe the nurse is maybe just checking on me. So I opened my eyes, and the nurse was still at the bottom of my bed writing on the computer. And I simply said, did you hold my hand? And she said, no, I haven't moved. I felt about wick after that. And then I closed my eyes. And again, I felt the squeeze of my right hand. And then I felt the Holy Spirit impress this upon my heart. And it was the little girl who Jesus healed. And he said, Talitha Kumai, my daughter, arise. Yeah. And in that story, he holds her by the hand. So I knew at that stage, whether I was going to go on a ventilator or even where I was then, that I was going to arise from this. And it was, I'm not saying that I had strong faith, but I will say this, through it all, Jesus strengthened my faith. And it was him that came to me and kept on encouraging me. And that Jesus holding my hand at that stage, when no one else could hold my hand, I just knew things were going to change. And then it was just like one thing after another. Then Sunday came, and my infection levels, they just started dropping dramatically. And on the Monday, I was needing less and less and less oxygen, to the point where I wasn't critical anymore. And that's all because not only did he speak to me, he touched me. And it was just amazing for me to go from ICU back to a ward.
That's just an incredible testimony. You then did something really amazing, and this was the point at which I kind of clocked the seriousness with you know what was happening to you, was that you recorded a little video from your hospital bed, and you stuck it on Twitter, and you had a ridiculous number of views, and you kind of talked about Jesus, and I was so kind of delighted that you'd said that, because so many people have watched that. How did that all play out, and you know, have you had reactions to that? What's happened since then?
This is the amazing thing. So I got back to the ward and I realized I'm healed and I'm getting healed. So I thought, well, I need to do something. Because when you're in the ward, there's nothing to do. If I put on the TV, it's going to be about death and coronavirus. So I just switched the TV off and was back in the ward. And then I decided I need to pray. And I've never done this before in my life. Usually when I want to pray, I just pray. I just pray with all my heart and just pray right away. But I spent an hour thinking about what I could pray for. And I thought, something I need to pray, the biggest prayer I've ever prayed in my life. And I was just thinking, what am I going to pray? And I was thinking to the Lord, what am I going to pray? And then the story of Joseph came along on my heart. And I was thinking about Joseph, where Joseph was, he was a nobody. No one knew him. He came from the pit. But God raised him up. And he raised him up to speak to the nation. And I said, that's it. He was raised up to speak to the nation and give them hope in a time of famine. And at that stage, I felt the Holy Spirit just impress upon me and correct me. No, he was raised up to be a voice of hope in a time of fear. So I thought, okay. And I just simply prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, I pray that when I come out of this hospital, that you would raise me up to be a voice of hope in this nation that's so full of fear. So my heaven, I said, amen. I thought, when I come out and I get better, eventually I'll get back and I'll preach in church and I'll preach a message of hope. And then that night, I just felt as if, again, to make a video and try and help. See, what was worrying back in Northern Ireland, and I'm sure it was right across the mainland, there was just a lot of people. There was no social distancing. I think no one was taking this serious, and the worry was that most people thought it was just going to be like a little cold or a flu. So I just realized I need to show people. I need to tell people. So I thought, right, and that next day I had the video, and it was crazy. I've never had anything go viral like millions. The amount of people have seen it across the world, and the amount of people have come to me. There's doctors and nurses have on Twitter and Facebook have thanked me privately and publicly. There's people around the world, even nurses as far as Australia. There was nurses in the COVID ward, and they were unfortunately in the part where they were dying. And again, this gave them hope. There was just people that were just so worried and fearful. And there was actually people that said, because of the video, they've given their life to Jesus and they've become Christians. They've realized that this is serious and their life's not right. It was just powerful that how a little story from a man who's in hospital, like all the sermons that I've preached, and nothing has gone like this. And it showed me simply that when God's in something, even when you're weak, he can make you strong. Even when you're lying low, he can use you for his glory. And that's humbling.
When I saw the video, I had to smile. I know you're in a desperate situation, but you'd kind of come through the worst of it. And the reason I smiled when you shared about Jesus, because that's very consistent with who you are. You never wasted any opportunity to share Jesus in Bible college. It was just you through and through to grab the opportunity. And I was so delighted that you did that. And it sounds as though so many people have responded, you know, so positively to what you've said. And I noticed also that you shared on your social media that, you know, some of the press in Ireland have got hold of the story, and people over here have had it. And I think we even saw you on the BBC News one night here in the UK. And I was just like, wow, that's amazing. You know,
there, unfortunately, the media at that time, there was nobody, I don't think. So like there was journalists from China and Japan, Australia, all over Russia, Africa, all over the world, just constant people wanting the story. And I have journalists still coming in contact with me. So because I am weak and frail, I decided that I would only do local ones.
Yeah.
Because I'm still getting that today. And I didn't have the strength to do that. And
well, you're very wise, I think. You have to look after yourself. And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had to look after myself. had to, because I was really ill as well.
Can I also just say thanks again for being willing to chat to us on this podcast, because I know that it's, you must have had so many requests, and it's very kind of you to speak to us. You know, I'm really grateful. So thank you for that. Something I also wanted to ask you was, how is your health now? And then also just talk to me about how your church has kind of got around you and so on. Just maybe unpack that a bit for us as well, if you didn't mind.
Unfortunately for me, I still have the after effects of coronavirus. So I still have fatigue. So like on Sunday morning there past, I preached a message. But after this, I'm going to get really, really tired, and tired that I need to sleep. Pains across my back and chest. Now, I was actually just recently seeing a consultant, and unfortunately when someone is in ICU for a period of time, and I lost 3 stone, like in a space of a couple of weeks, and it's unfortunately, it's not like you've lost 3 stone coming in ICU, it's great, you're losing good weight,
yeah. It's
muscle deterioration, so when your muscles are wasting away, your body's going to be more sore, because there's more work. And then if your muscles are working more, you need more oxygen. So all this has a negative effect on somebody coming out with coronavirus. So it's just going to have to listen to my body while I'm in pain, rest, while I'm tired, rest. And breathlessness is still an issue, which unfortunately I'm just going to have to build up strength. Now, I have been told, and this is the hard part, it's going to take up to about a year, so it won't be till the end of next March before I feel like myself once again.
Wow.
So it's hard. It is hard. And again, I'll say this gently, it's really important that we socially distance. You know, it's really important that we wash our hands, because this coronavirus is real, it's dangerous, and it's deadly. But if we don't fear it, but respect it and be cautious and be careful and think of others and love others, then I believe we can get through this. My church have been amazing. What's really good is we have in our church a WhatsApp prayer group. And most of the church is on the WhatsApp prayer group. So what the amazing thing was, when nighttime and well, in ICU in the hospital, when I couldn't sleep, somebody was praying for me. They took slots every sort of half hour, an hour. People were just praying throughout the night, sharing prayers, typing them up, sharing Bible verses, sharing them up. And it was just really encouraging. And I knew I wasn't alone. Somebody was praying for me. And again, that's so humbling. And there was no pressure from the church, you know, whatever I can do, I can do. But, you know yourself, you know, you've got a word from God and you just want to share it. So when I have the words, I just share them. And it's been really good and kind of the church to give me that time. And then I was able to take a couple of weeks off there with Claire and just go around Northern Ireland and just really enjoy a staycation instead of a vacation, I suppose.
That's just such an incredible story. A couple of things I just want to ask you to kind of close things up, really. First of all, would you let me know, are there some specific ways I can be praying for you? And then secondly, would you be kind enough to pray for anyone listening? Because the podcast will be listened to by lots and lots of people. And it's really nice for people to have a prayer at the end. So maybe if you go with the first one first, tell us how we can be praying for you so that anyone listening can then pray as well for you at any point that they hear the podcast.
Of course.
Is that all right? So maybe start with that one first.
That would be great. So obviously I'm still being seen by consultants and physios. The only one thing I would like to be ruled out is, and that can only be ruled out by a CT scan, is pulmonary fibrosis, and that is scarring of the lungs. And that's the only thing I don't want to get. And if you have scarring of the lungs, that's permanent lung damage that can't be healed. Unfortunately, that could lead to COPD and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now there's a good chance I don't have it, but only a CT scan will prove that I don't. And that would be amazing, because that would just mean there's no long-term problems that are going to happen. And if it's these other little things like the breathlessness and the pains across the chest, and that's because of the muscle that's been wasting away, I can build that up, you know, by swimming, by walking, and that's okay too. The other thing is that obviously praying for Claire, I was physically sick, but Claire was emotionally drained. So, and that's the hard thing. Even when I came home, like after 3 weeks away from the family, I couldn't do much around the house. And Claire has just been super amazing. So behind that, you know, if anyone's ill, you know, if you know of anyone ill, because I feel like, you know, maybe a second wave, and if there is a second wave, there will be people getting sick. And I think it's so important, you know, lovingly, this is another thing, the praying for those that maybe the NHS who have to still deal with this, or families that are self-isolating, you know, like we were blessed to have food brought to us from people in our church, you know, and that's an amazing way of showing the love of God, you know, with
bringing food
and bringing love. So those things, because that's my heart. At the moment, I'm praying personally for the schools going back. You know, I want some sort of normality. So,
yeah, of course.
It's going back to school on Thursday.
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, so anyone listening to the podcast, if you've heard Mark there, ask for prayers for those things. So just say a prayer when you hear this. That would be fantastic. And then, Mark, just to close, would you be kind enough just to pray for anyone listening to the podcast? It's mostly blokes that listen. It's just kind of maybe saying a prayer, particularly maybe for blokes that are either going through COVID themselves or perhaps are looking after someone or worried about someone who's got the illness.
Thanks, Nick. Father, just thank you for this time and this podcast. And thank you, Father, we can just advance your kingdom and your gospel and your message that Jesus Christ loves us and he wants to save us. And I'm praying, Father, for those who are listening, those men, maybe others who are listening who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I just pray that something was said would just speak to their hearts. And Lord, that they would give their life to you and live for you. For those who are maybe away from you and not walking the way they should, I just pray that this would set them on fire and let them realize that Jesus is real. And he's coming again soon. I pray, Father, for those who are maybe listening to this, who maybe have COVID-19 or have got coronavirus. I pray for those who are caring right now, for those in self-isolation, Lord, and maybe taking time out. They're maybe worried what's ahead. I just pray, Father, even that they'll hear my story and realize that what God did for me, he can do for them. I just pray your blessing and healing upon each and every one of them. And Father, that prayer that I've been offering all those who have been ill, I thank you back in the Garden of Eden that you breathed the breath of life into the lungs of Adam. And for all those who are ill and sick, would you breathe the breath of life into their lungs and that they will be healed. I also lift up, Lord, the NHS, Lord, and thank you, Father, for those brave heroes that are every day putting on their full PPE, and it's warm and it's sweating and it's difficult 12 hours. And they're going in maybe unknown what's going to happen. But I pray, Father, that you would show them and help them and strengthen them. As they go home at night, Lord, I pray they'll be able to rest and feel peace of God that passes all understanding. I pray for their families because, Lord, they're worried too. And they're worried probably, are they going to get home? Are they going to sick? Take away those fears, Lord, and strengthen them. And thank you for Nick and Chloe, Lord. And I pray, Father, for Nick, you'll continue to bless him in his ministry. And thank you for this podcast. And I pray, Lord, you'll continue to use him in the days that lie ahead. Thank you for him. He's a man of God. And Lord, continue to use him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.